Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're excited about, you know, talking with you. We want to keep you encouraged. As things progress, VFNTV and daily radio program is going to make more and more sense to you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of options on the table right now. I won't eat my vegetables. I won't eat my broccoli. I'll just eat dessert. Then all of a sudden, as things increase, you're going to say, you know, I want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer going to believe the talking head, you know, that just kind of reads a prompter based on some corporate standards that satisfies the commercial base. I'm going to get in there. I want to know what's happening. And so we talked about an earlier program. Make sure you catch it. It's about, you know, this what's happening with this immigration issues with these women and children flooding our borders as Christians. How we need to respond to that. Understand, we have a different response than people that are worried about their country. You know, we were first worried about human beings, and then we're worried, in addition to that, in the right way, about our country. But we cannot put our hands in the face of a child and say, well, I'm not going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big problem. And it could be this, and you can find out more about an earlier program. If, according to George Barna, 97% of regular church attenders, this goes every 2 weeks, are robbing from God, according to Malachi. They're not honoring God by saying, you're the one that gave me this wealth, which means, he says, that they're not giving to God tithes and offerings. So they're just like, God, you're out of the financial loop.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if the church was honoring God, that means then there would be a lot of resources in the church today, and we'd be able to take care of all these kids. And maybe if we were doing that, maybe we wouldn't be losing these battles that we're losing right now. Because why would God, if we're robbing from God, I mean, think about it. Can you imagine you're robbing this bank, right? You're robbing this bank. You got your little mask on, or your ski mask, or whatever you call that thing. And you're going in there and you got these guns and you're robbing the bank. But then as you're robbing the bank, you walk in and you hit your knee on that little counter, you know, you can fill out your check on, and you cut your knee. And so then you look at the person who you were holding a gun in their face and you were stealing from them. You say, do you have a Band-Aid? I mean, if they are going to get you a Band-Aid, they're getting you a Band-Aid because they have a theory to get out of this robbery taking
right.
place. And it's like, you know, we rob from God, and then we look to God and say, God, can you help us? Our borders are being flooded. Yes. Is that not my hand at work right now? Mm-hmm. Am I not getting your attention? Consider hardships discipline. And don't you know I told you that I'm fastening a storm against you? If you stand on the wall and you warn that this particular flood of the enemy is coming in, if you stand up and you repent, I'll stop this storm the way I stopped it in Nineveh. All these different things have been said. Instead of saying, can you get me a Band-Aid? It's like, at some point you're going to realize that God's just merciful and he's kind and he's loving. But God's going to say, until you get this right, this intensity is not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're holding signs out, like some of the folks are, you can see on the earlier program, they were saying, you know, we don't have enough tax money to be able to take care of this.
Mm.
And it's money's the issue. It's always the issue. Even when Ezra was responding to be able to rebuild the temple, right? God touched the king's heart, you know, and the Persian king, mind you. And all of a sudden God touched the Persian. We'll be talking about this today. So what we're going to talk about is that, you know, God is the one in control. It's not your local king or your president, your prime minister. God's the one that's in control and he's overall. But God touched this Persian king's heart. All of a sudden, he just wanted to help out with Israel rebuilding the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's round all the people up. This is what I want to do. This is what's been placed on my heart by their God. Anybody that serves their God, you know, get them all together. And it was amazing. And they ended up there because they were in rebellion. They were not listening to God. They were trying to partner with Egypt and all the people who weren't following God. And God warned and warned and warned and warned in Jeremiah and all these different things. And finally, God said to Josiah, when it's like he's about to bring this thing down on his people, he's about to bring it down. Josiah saw it because he read it for the first time. He read the word of God for the first time because the religious folks had hid the word of God from the people. I'm summarizing this. And then when he read it, he goes, God's angry with us. And he rips his clothes, you know. And because he was king, he just dealt with the sin in the land. I mean, he just tore down everything, cleaned it up. And God said about Josiah, there never was a more awesome king, better king than Josiah, before him or after him. Think about it. What did he do? When he found out what was right, he did right. When he knew better, he did better. And when he saw what the Word of God was, which means you got to get into the Word of God. 81% of Christians in America don't even pick up their Bible at all, according to George Barna. How are we going to be Josiah if we're not even finding out what God has to say? Mm-hmm. And so when he did that, but guess what God said? He said, still, he said, okay, for you, Josiah, and your season that you're going to be around, I'm going to put a pause on this thing. But after you, I'm going to bring this judgment down on Israel because of all the innocent bloodshed that's taken place. And so God was going to deal with this innocent blood that was taking place. And so up until the time of Josiah's death, it was just blessed. And then the day that Josiah died, Jehoiakim actually had a short-lived son that jumped in for a couple of weeks. Anyway, but then the world was working with choosing the leader over God's people at this point. Egypt chose who was going to be the leader over God's people. And they named him. They named him Jehoiakim. Josiah had another name, you know, Bobby Joe, whatever his name was. But it didn't matter when it comes to, he wanted to make a covenant with Egypt. And then they called him Jehoiakim. Egypt named the leader over God's people.
Mm.
Think about it. The world named the leader of God's people.
Mm.
And this is what God's plan was. People say, I can't believe the world's coming in. It's like, because we went into the world. But we can just repent. And Jehoiakim means this. That name means God's set man. That means God's set man. And immediately he started making covenants with Egypt. He started cranking the taxes so high that put people under oppression to be able to pay tribute to things that were not of God. I don't think we've even seen the taxes that are going to be coming down the road. And so this is an opportunity that Israel could have just said, you're right, God, we're so sorry, we've sinned, forgive us for the innocent bloodshed. But instead, they just kept on going in the same direction. And Jehoiakim was worse than his, you know, grandfather's and all. Of course, you can't make a deal with the devil. So eventually, you know, Egypt comes in and removes Jehoiakim, and then they appoint his uncle Zedekiah. And they name him Zedekiah. And his name means God is just. So we think Jehoiakim's bad right now. I mean, we got the justice of God coming around the corner, which leads us to a place of repentance. We can say, like Nineveh, we've sinned, it's wrong, forgive us, and he just stops it. He stops us, but we can't stay in a place of rebellion. Because think about this. So this is they, and so what happened was when Zedekiah got placed by Egypt over God's people, he had a covenant with Egypt, but he had no idea that, you know, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep it longer than you want to stay, right?
Yeah, make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay.
Exactly. And what happened was he thought he was just going to deal with Egypt. And this is what happened to him. He went from Egypt to Babylonian captivity. God raised up his servant, Nebuchadnezzar, to take his people under captivity. So when I'm talking to you about Ezra today, I'm talking if they're coming out of that Babylonian captivity. All of a sudden now, you know, it was God's servant, Nebuchadnezzar. He began to speak to the heart of this Persian king, saying, I want you to do a God thing, you know. And he started gathering the people together to be able to build this temple. And it makes me think of exactly what God says in his word in Psalms 103:19. He says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. All authorities established, this is Romans 13, all authorities established by him and for him, they're his servants. He holds the king's heart in his hands and directs him like a watercourse. Our issue is not a political issue. Our issue is not, you know, independent, Republican, Democrat, all these polarizing words. The church, our issue is our sin. Our issue is we need a third great awakening to be able to bring us to a place of repentance. So God touches Ezra, touches the king of Persia to be able to get Ezra responding to this prophetic word, start gathering folks. And guess what? As soon as they begin to rebuild the altar first, and that's what you got to do. If you haven't heard, you know, Nehemiah rebuilding the heart of Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of the church, you need to be able to hear that at vfntv.com. But the first thing they began to build when they're going to reestablish Israel again was the altar. You got to begin to pray. You got to abide with God. We talk about it. Go to iabide.org and begin to abide with the Lord. Because if you're going to start somewhere, don't start with some store up the street or some house. Start on your knees praying to God and say, you know, I got to get this altar right. I got to begin to offer my life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is my spiritual act of worship. So they're building this altar back. And I'm saying this for a reason, because it's all boils down to money. Because you're seeing people complain right now saying that these immigrants are going to cost us money. It's like these human beings who are like need help. These children out there, they're being used as pawns, sir. You can't, they're human beings. You can't, you got to, as the church, we got to be careful how we respond to them. Mm-hmm. We still can do what's right and treat them right simultaneously. And so they're rebuilding the, at the request of the Persian king, rebuilding the altar. That's what they started with. And guess what? The enemies came up and they said, you know, we want to be a part of this. And they're like, you know, you're not Jewish. You're not a Christian. This is not some project. People who say they want to help you, help is good, but it's holy. So it's not just anyone who can touch the things of God. I mean, it's those that are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so some people just like, yeah, let him blow his trumpet. I know he blows it for Satan on the weekend, but have him blow his trumpet up here, because we need trumpets, you know, just like heaven had a trumpet player in Lucifer. And so here they are. So they said, no, you can't do this. And it proved who they were, because as soon as they got offended and they went away, they began to write letters to the same Persian king and write letters to accuse and to ridicule the very ones that were unctioned by the king himself. And they said, these are rebellious people. Go back and search your records. And you know what it is? They're going to cost you tax money. They're going to cost you money, because they're going to rebuild the city. It's going to cost you. I tell you what, if you let that go on, you're going to have this nonprofit 501c3 business, and you're going to lose a tax. But all of a sudden, it just boils into money. And so this king who had these godly intentions, king of Persia, mind you, he goes back and has the records checked. And guess what? He finds out that these guys were right. They were rebellious. And that's my concern always. When you're looking at history, it's only because God is good.
That's right.
It's not because we're good. Our history... We're sinful people. We've fallen short. Our forefathers fell short. We can't go back and say, because we're a great nation. We can go back and say, we serve a great God. And with him, all things are possible. And guess what happened? He looked, he saw, and said, they were right. These are rebellious people, and this is what it's going to cost. And it just stopped everything dead in its tracks. But I got good news for you. Nehemiah is soon to come. Well, you think about, you know, we're talking about, it always boils down to money. Because the people are holding these signs out, as we were talking about prior to the break. You know, we don't have enough tax money to take care of these children. It's like, oh, we're the richest nation in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we're the top 3% of the world. Our poorest person in our nation's richer than
75% of the world.
75% of the world, folks. I mean, come on. I mean, God saw us say that. You know, as citizens, we can't say that. The question is, how are we going to do this?
Right.
We need to think this thing through. But it boils down to money. So then we're looking like, okay, we cannot buy into, okay, if we're robbing from God, we first need to say, God, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm going to honor you as the one who blesses the work of my hands by giving you the first fruits. I'm going to deliver it to you. I'm not going to benefit. I'm just going to give it to you. And in the context of that, when we do that, then we go, and God, we ask you for wisdom as I abide with you. Go to iabide.org, because you're going to deal with the altar first. And then you're not going to be shocked and surprised when somebody sees your success. God begins to move in your ministry, in your life. And all of a sudden they start accusing you of your past. Because if somebody says, you know, you were robbing from God, and you were robbing from God, you can't say, well, that's not true. You can say, yes, you're right, but I repented of that. Mm-hmm. And you would say to the king of Persia, if you were Ezra, you know, potentially if that was going on, and people are starting to accuse, you know, your success as the church in America means the devil's not going to be successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
In some things. And the only thing that they knew how to tap into the heart of political leaders is what? Money, tax base. And so they went straight to the king of Persia. And they said, these guys doing this, who are rebellious, who have been known to go against leadership, that they are going to take money away from your tax base. Think about it. They went back and researched it. The other history was in rebellion. And he shut the whole thing down. He shut the whole thing down. And so it's important for us to understand that, because you sometimes you just don't think practical, you know, about things. You think, well, you know, there's this cloud that kind of blew in and people just mysteriously started doing this and then this happened. No, each of us have our own authority. God's given us each our own free will. And so the enemy has to be able to build a narrative to get you to buy into it by your free will. He's got to convince you to buy in. He does it sometimes either seduced or pushed or whatever it is, mm-hmm. or lies. And he's called a liar. You know, Satan's a liar and the father of lies. So what he's trying to do, I mean, think about it. If he truly was that strong, if Satan was that strong, he wouldn't try to sell you on nothing. He would just take you out. But you're creating the image and the likeness of God, and God's giving you a free will. And he's waiting, God's waiting to see, as he says in Acts chapter 17, if you're going to exercise that free will to acknowledge him, to reach out to him, and to make him the Lord of your life. That's what's going on. And so the enemy's going to try to influence your free will and influence the free will of the governmental leaders and those in other places. And what was happening there with Israel and the king of Persia, they were influencing the free will of that king. His free will first said, let's support Israel, let's get this thing built. Then these other people's free will was affected by the adversary when they wouldn't let them come and build for whatever reasons. Obviously, their motives weren't right. And they used their free will to go tell the king something that would stop God's people from progressing and benefiting. Mm-hmm. These are people that are writing letters on behalf of stopping God's people from doing something. I mean, how many times do we get offended? It's like, I can't believe it. I finally was doing something for God and somebody wrote a letter and said something bad about me. And it's like, that's what's going to happen. People's free will is going to be influenced. And so that's why we have to preach the gospel. That's why we're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, broadcasting television and radio and teaching in the Dream Center, because the only hope is the truth. You got to get the truth out and the light out. Mm-hmm. And it changes the atmosphere over people when you begin to loose God's truth and the light of the gospel into the air. People begin to see more clearly and they can understand, hey, that's a lie. But if we don't continue to loose the truth of God over a people, over a city, over a nation, over the very people in your family or maybe in your flock, how are they going to see clearly to make good decisions? Mm-hmm. And so in doing that, we're saying, you know what? We want to help people exercise their free will to make a decision that not only brings them into the presence of God, but brings them to a place of forgiveness and a place of blessing. Let me tell them about Jesus. Let me tell them that if they begin to abide with Jesus and get in his word and get his word inside their heart, all of a sudden life's going to be easier again, for the first time maybe. And you're going to be able to have wisdom untold because God's full of wisdom. And his word will keep us from getting off track. Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I wouldn't be off track, that I wouldn't miss the mark, that I wouldn't sin. And it's like, wow. So in that, you're thinking, you know, what are we going to do? What's taking place? One is that, you know what? Let's begin to do what God's called us to do. Let's just do it. We don't need a political approval. We don't need a crowd to be with us. We just got to hear and obey. Abide, hear, obey. Just hear God, do what he says, despite what's happening out there in the world. And stay on the light road, the narrow road, the road that God is bringing hope and salvation and all these things on. And with that, and this is what we've been praying for and what others are seeing as well, a third great awakening. A third great awakening. This is interesting, is that, you know, this is the first of this release of this movie that just got released, was released on July the 1st. Ezra made the proclamation to build the temple, and the king of Persia did on July the 1st, the first week in July.
Wow.
The call to prayer by Billy Graham's daughter, Anne Graham, was 7 for 7 for 7. The urgent, it's the same time frame. And this third great awakening that's taking place with Rodney Howard Brown. Tell us about it. So I want to encourage you. This is the answer. The answer is a great awakening, not because we deserve it, not because we're good, but because God is good. As a matter of fact, we're going to go to this break, come back. You got to hear what's taking place. We've got good things in store in Washington, D.C., taking J.C., to D.C. Like, I'm so excited to be able to know what God's doing. He's doing so many things across the nation. There's so many positive, good things. And I think about Abraham, when Abraham was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, can you find, if would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if you found, you know, mm-hmm. what, 20, 40, 50, whatever it is, yeah, 50. And it's like there is more, way more than that in America who's standing up for God. And so the Third Great Awakening, tell us what's going on in Washington,
D.C. Right now, Washington, D.C., Rodney Howard Brown is holding these, I guess, crusade meetings in Washington, D.C., believing for a Third Great Awakening. And these meetings are going to last for 14 days with the purpose of asking God, repenting, that God would touch the church first. And once the church is touched, we can touch the nation and the world. And you're going to hear, CBN did a fantastic segment. We're going to watch this here in a second. But you're going to hear from Bishop Harry Jackson as he talks about, you know, what's happening in our nation, as well as retired General Boykin.
Oh, yeah.
And he shares that, you know, a Third Great Awakening, he says, right now, without a Third Great Awakening, forces like those that took down the mighty empires of the past will also bring down the United States. And he continues to say that we're going to wind up exactly like these other great empires, which only lasted on average about 200 years. We're going to completely self-destruct. And so we're at a place right now in our nation's history that we need God more than we've ever needed him before.
And it's so important to understand, a Third Great Awakening is not a good idea.
Yeah.
It is the only idea of God that will bring us out of where we are, which is this huge, a Great Awakening is a national repentance before God.
Watch this.
Some say morality in America is on the decline, and without a Third Great Awakening, the land of the free could be lost.
As Paul Strand explains in tonight's Focus Report, there's a new plan underway to spark that awakening this summer.
You need to slap yourself right now and get right with God, fall in love with Jesus, and stand up for America.
Originally from South Africa, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown says God sent him to America with a word.
But there's coming a revival of signs and wonders and the lost. And he said, go tell the church to get ready for the coming revival.
Now he and others hope to spark that revival, starting in the heart of the nation's capital, holding 14 nights of mega-sized meetings in early July as America celebrates its 238th birthday.
We've come to light the fires right in the belly of the beast, if you could put it that way.
Promos for this massive undertaking, known as Celebrate America, will soon blanket Christian media.
God's not finished with America. I've got good news for you. God's not finished with this land.
Howard Brown and others hope and pray this event will ignite a Third Great Awakening and revive the nation.
In the 1700s, it was a great awakening. In the 1800s, it was. And we have to have one now. It's that critical.
Bishop Harry Jackson of Maryland's Hope Christian Church agrees.
Really at the root of America's problem, we really have a spiritual cancer that's really been eating away at our nation.
Retired General Jerry Boykin used to fight America's physical enemies overseas. Now working with the Family Research Council, he's fighting spiritual foes. He says without a Third Great Awakening, forces like those that took down mighty empires of the past will also bring down the United States.
We're going to wind up exactly like these other great empires, which only lasted on an average of about 200 years. We're going to completely self-destruct. And you see the beginnings of that now.
Jackson ticked off some of the sins plaguing the land.
We've got sex trafficking. We've got abortion. We've got the resurgence of racism. We've got hatred that is abounding.
3,000 babies aborted every single day in this country. We have over 300 million people. We use 70% of the world's drugs.
Before both the First and Second Great Awakening, the country was in a tailspin and Christians in despair.
There are preachers that were ready to give up. The nation was in a moral nadir. Greed, corruption, and sin abounded.
Howard Brown sees similar things today, right here in Washington.
We keep going down the hole, no matter who's in power. God has taken out of every realm of our government, even though the scripture is still ingrained in marble on all the establishment. They can't get that out.
But Howard Brown sees a special grace on America.
Knowing what I know now, we should be gone a long time ago. But it's because of the believer in this land and the hand of God that's still on America, and God's not finished with this land. It's just time for the church to rise up.
Boykin believes the power to save the U.S. is not in politicians, but in its believers.
Me plus the Holy Spirit, that's a majority.
During those first weeks in July, in the daytime, thousands of specially trained Christians will hit the streets of D.C. to evangelize and bring new converts to the kingdom.
just really believe in God to cast a gospel net across the Capitol.
At night, those 14 giant meetings held between July 1st and 19th will feature worship and long looks at what made America strong, as well as what it'll take to make it strong again. There'll also be calls for Christians whose walk is weakened to make their walk strong again, too.
Awakenings really begin with individuals, people who are converted and transformed.
The event's organizers have a goal: to see political, spiritual, and business leaders uniting themselves and humbling themselves before God.
Coming together in the very hub of the nation and crying out to God for Him to transform us first and then to transform our nation.
These leaders believe revival could then sweep the land.
The Holy Spirit is contagious.
If the fear of God would come back in the people, it will have a ripple effect throughout the land. It'll go right through our schools. It'll go through our university campuses.
I know that the time is short, and I know that it's 2 seconds to midnight. We must run now. We must carry the gospel. We must run as never before.
For this to succeed, the organizers of Celebrate America say they need thousands of Christians who already have the fire of revival burning in their hearts to come volunteer in Washington this July to be foot soldiers in this war for the nation's heart.
I'm asking we the people, come and help us. Come and help us. If you love America and you love the nation and you love the Constitution.
Paul Strand, CBN News, Washington.
Amazing. It's totally exciting to see these things that are taking place. And it is happening as we speak in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to go to, hopefully we'll get a banner up for you, everybody that's working on that, to find it at vfntv.com. But you can go to, I think it's called Awake America, Celebrate America. I'll have to find out the details. Go to vfntv.com. But it's, they're meeting right now, this for 14 days in Washington, D.C., which is our capital, and believe in God for the third great awakening. And it's happening all over. I mean, it's just what Dutch Cheese was just talking about. It's what Rick Joyner's been talking about at Morningstar Ministries. It's what Chuck Pierce is talking about out of Corinth, Texas. It's what we've been talking about. It's what CBN's been talking mm-hmm. about. And one of the things that was spoken, I believe, and I wish we had that word available. Maybe you can find that word of Pat Robinson when he went away to spend time with the Lord. Let's find that word that was spoken over this year in the beginning of the year. When he said, you know, he goes away and spends time with the Lord to hear what God is saying, and he talks about it's going to be the most powerful year for the church. It's going to be the most powerful year, you know, for the church, and yet it's going to be a real, real rough year in regards to what we're actually seeing. And so I want to encourage you that it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times, but understand that the best of times means if you're walking with God, then you are, you know, watch that video, if you could pull that up. I think it's actually mm-hmm. in it. But the he talks specifically about how encouraging these moments are. I don't know if it's going to work in the context of that. But the if it's the best of times and the worst of times, understand that means some difficult things are going to be going on. But that's what's going to produce the harvest in the good times.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we talked about with the soil. You know, if you're going to plant a garden, the first thing that has to happen to the hard soil has to be broken up and it has to be tilled. But in that, a whole harvest is going to come out of that soil. And so the difficult times that appears to be coming to America is the harvest that we're looking for. And excuse me for a moment. We're trying to get this thing up there so you can see it. I think this is it right here. This happening. And so what is the Lord saying about 2014? Well, here's Pat Robinson. He went away to spend some time. This is January the 2nd when he talked about it and what is taking place for 2014.
Well, it's the whole hour. So
is it? Okay, that's not going to be able to work. You got to hear. It's just so we're going to get this thing for you before we go out. But some tragedy is going to take place in the. You might have it. Do you have it? Some tragedy is going to take place that in the world is going to be very difficult. It's going to be very difficult. But with that, the harvest is going to be happening simultaneously. You got to hear this. He talks about that the world will be in chaos. There'll be a financial collapse as a result of what happens in China's economy. Iran will have nuclear weapons by the end of the year. Republicans will take control of Congress, but they won't have enough to override the presidential veto. The president will be severely hindered in this terms in his term in regards to his agenda, and will be discredited greatly. This is what Pat Robinson's saying. He feels like the Lord is telling him for 2014. This is what we talked about on air.
This is a word that was given to him when he went to spend the Lord up in his cabin. And it was interesting because a lot of things that he was hearing was pretty much accurate compared to a lot of, you know, we've been hearing the same, kind of same type of thing. So it's very interesting what he shared.
Well, we're pulling over. You're taking our time. Here we go. Right here. You got to hear this. This is Pat Robinson. He went away to spend the time with the Lord. He wants you to hear because it's coming to pass. It's actually coming to pass. And it'll encourage you because it's going to be the best of times, the most exciting times the church has seen. Listen up.
Well, here at our CBN campus, we have a tradition. Every New Year's Day, the staff of CBN, Operation Blessing, Regent University gather together for a joint time of prayer and worship to start off a new year. And here are some highlights from yesterday's special service.
And I tell you, if we love each other, God will bless us. If we walk in love, all things are possible. You know, the whole concept of hearing from the Lord is unity. In the early days, God looked down on the Tower of Babel, and he says, this people speaks with one mind, and they have one voice. Now, nothing they propose to do will be impossible. And I think that's what the Lord said. I give you power, I'm going to give you authority over all the works of the enemy. So we go forth with boldness this year. This is the year of boldness. It's a year of victory. It is a year of great harvest. And the coming of the Lord draws near. Love is of God. And those that dwell in love dwell in God. So I think if there's a message for this new year, is that we need to love each other like never before.
Well, that's going to be happening. We've got, it's a tremendous sense of harmony here at CBN. I know that makes you happy if you're our viewers and supporters. And it's a real sense of unity with the Regent University and, of course, the Operation Blessing and the American Center for Law and Justice all together.
So every year, Pat, you go up in the mountains and spend some time with the Lord and praying, and you were up there at your mountain home in Virginia. What did the Lord tell you for 2014?
Well, I spent a lot of time praying. This is a long time. Last year, there was so much ice, and I couldn't even get up there. But this time, I was up there by myself in the mountain, and I had several days. So what was the message? I think what I said to the staff was love, that we've got to exercise. God is love. He's also light. And we have to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, what is he going to do this year? Well, now I offer that, Wendy, with humility, saying, let's see what happens. And, you know, you check it out when the year's over. Was I right or wrong? But number one, I think that the world is going to be in chaos this year. We're not going to have a unified world. And I think sometime during the year, there's going to be some kind of a credit crisis. And I think China is going to lead the way. I think we'd be very sad. You know, that whole economy is like a house of cards. And when it starts falling, it can affect the entire world because the Chinese purchases of raw material, goods, you know, you look at all the markets, whether it's gold, whether it's silver, whether it's copper, whether it's aluminum, whether it's steel, whether it's timber, all those things sucked in by the Chinese economy. So if they start having trouble, it'll be trouble for everybody else. The other thing is, I do believe that the Iranians will have a nuclear device before the end of the year. And Obama is using a tactic of containment. That's not going to work. We used to say we're not going to let them have it. Now they're going to say, well, we're just going to contain it. Well, that's a bad policy. The next thing is, I do believe that the Republicans will win control of the Congress, but they will not have a veto-proof majority, so they'll be able to pass some stuff, but unless they can get Democrats to go along with them, they cannot override a presidential veto. The other thing is, I think that the president is going to be severely hampered. I think America is going to turn against him much more so than now as that Affordable Care thing starts biting hard as it is. He's going to be discredited terribly. And as a process, I think that he's going to withdraw. He likes Hawaii. He spent a lot of time in Hawaii. And he probably figured, you know, okay, I've done my thing. Now let's go surfing. I mean, really, he's got a big airplane to ride around in. He's got a big staff. He's got a big expensive limousine to ride in. And he can just go bopping around the world. And he doesn't have to govern. And I don't think he's going to because he can't get anything through. What else? I'm trying to think. I didn't...
Spiritually speaking, did the Lord say anything about...
Well, I think spiritually is more important than any of the rest of it. There's going to be a great move of God. And the thing that God was impressing on me is what really the command of Jesus. Ordinary, if I can use that term. There's no such thing as an ordinary Christian. Every Christian is extraordinary. Right. But just people in the pews, just regular Christians who are filled with the Spirit, are going to do extraordinary things. There's going to be tremendous healing. People will be able to pray and have their prayers answered. There will be a move of God, and it'll be the greatest year in the history of the church. It'll be unbelievable all around the world. And I think Islam is going to be in retreat. Instead of advancing, it's going to be retreating. And, you know, onward Christian soldiers. This is God's hour for his church. And it's going to be very exciting, despite of what you may read in the papers. God's message is going to be one of victory for his people.
That is very good news.
Yeah.
And what you were saying, that God was just saying that the most important thing for us to do
is to love each other.
Because the Bible says, where there's unity, I will command a blessing.
You know, I was reading Ezekiel today, and God says, now they will know that I am the Lord. Oh, what does that mean? I mean, they'll know I'm the Lord. It's a big deal. But if you read the Hebrew, what God is saying, now they'll know that I am, and his name is He who causes everything else to be. So now they will know that I am He who causes everything else to be.
Yeah.
He's not on a par with Allah or Baal or any of those people or any of those phony deities from antiquity. He is the one who causes everything to be. And so he says, I am love itself. I am light, and he's saying to his people, walk in light, and I will give you the answers to your prayers. I will be with you. It's going to be a great year, folks, a great year, whatever happens politically. I mean, it's going to be a great year, but it'll be, in terms of the finances of the world, it's going to be chaotic.
Yeah, all right.
Amazing. The greatest year the church has ever seen in history. It's going to be, you know, God is going to do some powerful things. And so that's what we believed all along. But it's going to be two things going on simultaneously.
Right.
And so we have to prepare. Don't base your hope. And we're going to talk more after this break. But don't put your hope in the things of this world. Put your hope in God. And you will never be disappointed. And you'll get to celebrate what God's about to do in the earth. It is exciting to see these things taking place. If you heard Pat Robinson talk about this, was January the 2nd when we first... We got that, by the way, off the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and just type in, you know, either look for the search menu for prophecies, just click on prophecies, or go type in Pat Robinson. You can see that yourself. But this is what we've been saying, is it's the best of times and the worst of times. It makes me think about, you know, when Pastor John Kilpatrick, when he began to minister the funeral for his friend and evangelist and revivalist, Steve Hill. And he was talking about, you can never have a move of God without a move of Satan. I mean, they're going to happen simultaneously. And you have to be willing to press through the pain, the letters like Ezra had written against him. You got to understand that God's throne is above all these other thrones. And just like, you know, Pat talked about, that you'll know not only that he's God, but that he is actually in control. And these things are being orchestrated in the earth to be able to show himself mighty. And that if we'll do that and trust God and be willing to say, and there's some people that, I mean, they don't believe that you can lose your job and your prodigal child can get saved at the same time.
Right.
They're so blurred over the fact they've lost their job, they can't celebrate the fact that your son, that your daughter you've been praying for years, had finally came to God.
Yeah.
It's like the enemy's going to fight you on these things. He's not going to just let it happen. And so you have to be willing to hold the line and say, you know what? You know, no matter what happens, I'm going to serve the Lord. And when you do that, the enemy does come in. He's always done it since the beginning of the Garden of Eden. He comes in and tries to thwart the plans of God. And what we do is we hold fast to the promise of God and what God is saying. And in the middle of that, we begin to see God do powerful things, powerful things. And so John and I were talking on the break about how, you know, how do you articulate the best of times and the worst of times? And if you look at it, how many times do you thought that, you know, so tragedy happened in your life and you're thinking that, you know, it's all over, it's terrible, it's bad, it's whatever. And out of that came such a fresh anointing. Mm-hmm. Out of that came a fresh word, or out of that came an opportunity you never even looked for before, because you were kind of locked down to what you thought you had to have. And then God just kind of took that away, or the enemy did something to it. And then what the enemy meant for evil, God meant it for good.
That's
God
right.
turned it out for good because you loved him. And it's like, do we really like the way America is right now? I mean, do we really like what it's come to now? Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, it's some of my harvest. It was my,
yeah, right.
I wasn't saved when I came out of the womb, unlike John. You know, Pat wasn't.
No.
We're so grateful last Sunday he got... No, the... Sorry, Mom. I didn't just... But you think about it, we're like the... You know, we live in the land where we have sinned, and, mm-hmm. and God's forgiven us, but there's our own harvest, things that we've done. And so that's why we have compassion for folks, because we are them outside of him, outside yeah. of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so together, by us crying out to God and say, Lord, save the people in America. Bring a third great awakening in America. We believe this is going to be the greatest year in history the church has ever seen before. Islam is going to be on the run. Radical Islam is going to be on the run. God's name is going to be glorified, and he is orchestrating things where he is going to get glory. And there are no borders when it comes to God. And so we begin to see things like these children coming over the border. We see things happening over in China with the economy and these things taking place. Understand, look up at a time like that, because our redemption is nigh, and tell all that you can, come with me. You know, empty hell and fill heaven by making people, giving them the opportunity to be followers of Jesus Christ. Like we did, we shared our testimony at meetmyfather.org. Go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories so you can find out how we met God, our Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And maybe today can be your day you enter into the family of God. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.